Book Zombie presents Curse of Strahd, a spooky adventure for D&D 5th edition. Episode 16, Normal for Barovia.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Book Zombie presents Curse of Strahd. So this is our first recording since we found our new home at Welcome to the Party. So very kindly arranged with young Throck. And so we have any new people joining us because of that. Welcome. Very nice to have you. So, last session, which was actually only a week ago. It's amazing. We had two sessions in 2 weeks. We left things in a little bit of a cliffhanger. So a quick summary. I did a summary for Jane as she wasn't here last week. I realized, oh, yes, all that happened last week, didn't it?
I was just helping you prep for your intro. Yeah. That's all.
Well, actually, I'd completely forgotten where we'd actually left it until I wrote that up. I thought, oh, yeah, I remember now. I'd actually written something completely different and I had to edit it out again. Okay, so at the end of last week's episode, last week's recording, I don't actually know which episode it'll be in because I edit them. I've now started editing to 2 recordings, but never mind, you don't care about that. Last session, we finally had the funeral of the Burgermeister, which we've been sort of working towards for a couple of sessions now. Against Darius's protestations, we left Doru, the vampire or vampireling, alive. I'd say alive and well, but obviously not. And left Dorovich's father with instructions on how to deal with him. I think eventually we talked about drilling a hole in the ground and putting a pipe in and just sort of pouring stuff in or something like that. No doubt we'll find out how well that goes when we return to the town, the village even. So having done that, we finally started off on the journey towards Valaki to try and move Irina to a safer place. We left sort of early afternoon, although it's about a day's journey. You'll need to break overnight. I think everyone didn't want to leave it another night and then start first thing in the morning, wanted to get going. So came to a crossroads, and on the crossroads was an empty gibbet, or gallows, until you walked away and looked back. And then there was suddenly a body hanging from it, which to Darius looks like Darius. Semyon went to investigate, and at the point that you almost touched it, Eremon, in the spirit of mischief, cast a spell that made it suddenly move. What is it about sorcerers? A sorcerer in nerve therapy does shocking grasp when he meets new people and shakes hands. Something about sorcerers, definitely.
Does he say, pull my finger, and then...
No, he just shakes hands, but he just has shocking grasp ready.
Oh, what is that? What is it, cloud kill? Or...
That's a bit extreme, yeah. But yeah, poison spray.
Yeah.
It's one. I know there's a couple of fart joke spells. I know cloud kill is one of them.
Yes.
Stinking cloud. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So anyway, Alton hit it with his weapon. Is it mace? Am I remembering rightly, Alton?
It's a flail.
Flail. I should have known it's a flail because you keep flailing around. Ooh, the look he's just given me.
Glares in pout.
It's a real Paddington hard stare. I seem a bit hyper this evening. I'll try and calm down in a minute. I've had a funny day. So Alton hit it with its flail and it faded away, leaving Semyon, not Alton, his player, Semyon absolutely convinced that he now has a fantastic magical flail for dealing with ghosts. He doesn't.
It's the spell that Tiz put on it. Tiz put a spell on it and made it awesome. Oh,
admittedly, that was a couple of days ago. But still.
Whatever makes you happy, Semyon.
Doesn't take much.
From there, headed off on the journey towards Valaki, partway along the afternoon's journey, are attacked by a pack of direwolves, which you dealt with. I think Semyon was rendered unconscious at one point during that battle, but he got better.
Yep.
And then after a little later, you got attacked by a larger pack of ordinary wolves. Not as large as the dice roll have said, but it was ridiculous. ridiculous, so I cut it down a bit. And they'd dispatched a couple of the attacking wolves, and then Lena decided that she was going to cast Talking with Animals, or Talk with Animals, and try and persuade the... sorry, I just flipped over and looked at Lena's photograph of her hair from yesterday again and made me laugh. I'll cut that bit.
I get the feeling that that's just what Lena Random looks like at all times.
Well, she needs to sort of photocopy a rock. And I was, no disrespect to anyone else, but somehow Lena is the character I'd most like to see fan art of. So we left it as we were running out of time, and it seemed like a good point. We left it on a little bit of a cliffhanger last time on what the wolves' response was going to be to Lena's persuasion attempt to, and in fact, her successful persuasion role, to try and get them to just move on and leave us alone. So it was quite an exciting episode last week. Quite a lot happened. With no more ado, introductions. So I am Chris Bookzombie Hill. I am your DM, trying to control this this herd of cats as normal. And as usual, I'll go along the line and start with Alton.
Hi, I'm Alton. You've been introduced to me twice already. I am playing Semyon Anatov, the idiot paladin. And this week I am also going to be playing my own foil, Ehriman. Because Sarge is not with us this week.
Sarge is at Gen Con. Sad face, everybody.
Jealous face.
Oh, poor guy. I know,
such a hard drive. No, the sad face was on our behalf, not his. Penny.
Hi, I'm Penny Hill. I'm playing Marmoset Quince, who was quite pleased to be quite useful in that fight against the direwolves, and is a little bit confused as to why Lena's now talking to the animals.
It's incredible. Rick.
I am Rick, playing Lena Random, and she is quite random. I am a druid, tiefling druid, that's right, and I am trying to talk to these wolves, but I don't know if they're listening or not.
Jane.
Hey, I am Jane, and I will be playing Tizril, or Tiz Forgeflame, our dwarven cleric.
Thank you.
Who's very chatty.
Alton did a very good impression of Tiz last week. It was quite impressive.
You know, that's the downside of doing a podcast that gets edited as opposed to like a Twitch show. It's like I can't go back and listen to it. So I won't hear it for like
a few weeks.
Yeah. You know, because it takes a while to edit. Like that's super fair. But I just like I won't get to hear it for a while. And
I might stick the raw audio into the thingy so you can have a listen to that. The Dropbox. And finally, after all that nonsense, Caius.
Hi, I'm Caius Wickersham. I'm playing Darius Talvinar, a human monk.
And, there was a little note at the end there. It sounds as if you're about to say something else.
Sorry. No, I decided. Okay.
Good to know. We could have left there. We just left the next hour just blank, waiting for the next one. I don't know what. I had a bit of a feeling a bit down in the dumps this morning, and I seem to have been making up for it a little bit this afternoon. So apologies if I'm more than normally slightly weird today.
Consider it bouncing back.
I like weird Chris. He's cool.
How much coffee have you had, dear?
I've only had one coffee today, and that was a few hours ago.
Oh, maybe you haven't had enough coffee.
Yeah, maybe. I am drinking some porter at the moment, though. Oh. But don't worry, I'm not going to drink wine. We've discovered that I can't DM and drink wine. It doesn't go well.
Okay. Yeah, this player and this dwarf vote yes on porters.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know Caius is a porter drinker as well.
Yes.
Okay, so time to resolve the cliffhanger from the previous episode. So can you remember exactly what it was that you said, Rick?
Not exactly, but I remember the gist of it.
Okay. Would you like to remind us of what the gist of it was?
Nope, I don't remember.
So when you said you remember the gist of it, what you meant was you didn't remember anything about it.
Yeah. A little bit.
I think there was something about, you know, we'll leave your hunting grounds and let you live.
Yeah, that
or
one.
Or something to that effect.
So the sort of standard generosity and threat roll-up thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
thanks, Caius. I'll bear that in mind. Sorry, Caius has just put something up on the... just put a note up on the chat. Suffer not the undead to live, so says the Emperor. So, yeah, we'll do our best for you there. I don't know what's going on. even more than normal, I've no idea what's going on. The more episodes we record, the more it gets like as chaotic as nerd therapy. Uh-oh. You mean you've never listened to it? Rick's the only person he has ever listened to it.
I love it.
So the wolves sort of pause, no pun intended, and it looks as if their leader, the one that responded to your original overtures, is thinking. And he turns and looks at the others, and then silently and quietly, if that's not an oxymoron, they vanish and disappear off into the wood.
Tautology, my love.
Tautology, yeah, sorry.
Definitely not an oxymoron.
No. That's military intelligence, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I was going to say like jumbo shrimp or something. And
yes, exactly.
like a relatively mild one.
Do you know, I never thought about that before, but you're absolutely right, isn't it?
That's like, I feel like that's the most common one. Like when people are explaining, like in English class, and they're explaining like, what is an oxymoron? Jumbo shrimp is like the number one. I am also from Houston, which is like a shrimp harvesting place. Yeah. So that might be part of it.
Okay. So first of all, before we do what happens next, Rick, have an inspiration point.
Absolutely. I will gladly take that.
I mean, to be honest, you probably deserved one for your sticking to your principles on what happened with Doru, having given your word that we wouldn't attack and making sure everybody kept to that. But I didn't think of it at the time. So you definitely deserve one for your resolution to this little fight.
Why, thank you.
Tiz got an inspiration for something last week.
I was noticing I don't that, think I used that it. I had an inspiration.
Oh, didn't I?
Cool.
Yeah. Didn't
I'll
I
find
give
out
you
what
an
it is in a while.
Was it last week? Didn't I give you an inspiration point for washing Marmoset? At the end of the previous episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then that was previous.
So just stop with checking at the moment. So I know that Tiz has, and I know that Lena has. Somebody else has got an inspiration point at the moment. I can't remember his. Left over from a while ago, I think.
Not me.
Possibly Ehriman.
Not mine.
Not Mark.
There was one for Ehriman, but
oh, he did
used
use it.
It.
Right, okay.
That was a while ago.
Oh, yeah. As long as you guys remember.
I used mine some time ago.
Yeah. I just like to check to see who hasn't done anything to deserve an inspiration point yet.
Or who hasn't been noticed. Like, as somebody who DMs, sometimes it's hard to notice in the moment, like, what is it.
Okay, so you are now into the late afternoon. You are on the road to Glassy. That's another thing I need to write down so I've got it in front of me because I never remember.
Isn't it Valaki?
Valaki. I'm choosing to pronounce it Valaki. It's
Valaki.
Anybody's guess what it's actually supposed to be, but my game, my rules.
Absolutely. I think you
that
get to
wasn't
set
the page
that.
I meant to go to. I just want to bring up the map for myself. Unfortunately, as much as I would love to be able to just put a map in front of you, it's got points of interest marked on it, which I don't want to give away. I might do another copy of it, actually, that I can do as a handout later. Somebody remind me to do that for next episode.
They didn't include a player's copy?
No.
That's weird.
I have also sorted the thing that I noticed last week where the trail markings that you would be using were out of lines. I finally remembered to line them back up again. Mm. I think that was probably me at some point. Probably moved something and I shouldn't have done.
Oh, probably.
You probably breathed on it funny or something, dear. We know how sensitive it is.
Inspiration points can be taken away as well as given, you know.
Never.
Okay.
I take it all back. I love you, Chris.
Yeah, I tried that. Didn't help.
Oh, dearie me. Okay. So You have been following the road. It's starting to get sort of late afternoon now. So not
really silly, but what did the wolf say?
The wolf didn't say anything. They just left.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you tell us that?
Did you tell us that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
I just said the chief.
Yeah, you said
oh,
that.
Okay. I also missed it. So
yeah, the chief wolf sort of stood in thought, and then once sort of getting distracted by doggo.
Baby wolf.
Sorry, this is the white. This is the unwell one. He's a sad puppy.
Sad puppy.
But yes, I said he sort of melted away into the forest.
Lena is feeling quite proud of herself and maybe a little smug.
As well she should. Mm-hmm. So Tiz will turn and be like, did it work? Did we fix it? Were we good?
Well, they didn't say anything, but the fact that they're gone would seem to suggest that, yeah, we're good.
Wow, nice job. I don't really know how to talk to wolves, so that's like really impressive. I don't know how you did that, but that's super cool.
It really was super cool.
I'm more talk to like metals.
Meanwhile, Semyon is standing there holding his flail going, what happened?
God, you know, I proudly said that I got the map lined up properly.
Is it unlined up?
I didn't have the map lined up. It is unlined up. It looks like matches, but that's in the wrong place. What are you doing?
Blame the cats.
Yep, absolutely. I will blame the cats as one does.
Oh, you walked across the keyboard, didn't you, Lilo? Yes, you did.
Yeah, absolutely. no, that is right. They've just got the numbering slightly different than the other version of the map. Okay, as I say, it's heading towards sort of late afternoon, but you are still following the road past a fairly sharpish bend. And I don't think this is me. I think this is the printing on the thing. Never mind. Okay, so you carry on wandering along the road. And after a little while, you come to a ford, a bridge that crosses over the river. So I'm sorry for hesitating a bit here, but the map just isn't right. I'm just going to grab the... And it's confusing me. And if it's confusing me, it's going to confuse you guys. I need to have a look at this again outside. But, yep, so that should be... Yeah, those labels are completely out. That's what happens when you pre-bought stuff.
Do we hear that noise coming from the receding wolf pack?
Nope. Okay, okay, yes, I'll say yes. You hear these wolves in the distance. They don't howl, they just go...
They are grumpy wolves.
Meanwhile, Lena hears, it was a very convincing argument.
Mm-hmm. And the beta wolf has turned to the alpha wolf and said, you agreed what now?
Rocks gently to himself. Okay, so as I say, you follow on the road for a little bit longer and you come across a bridge. And out from the bridge, you can see the following... You follow the dirt road as it clings to the side of a mountain and ends before an arching bridge of mould-encrusted stones that spans a natural chasm. Gargoyles cloaked in black moss perch on the corners of the bridge, their frowns weather-worn. On the mountainous side of the bridge, a waterfall spills into a misty pool nearly 1,000 feet below. The pool feeds a river that meanders into the fog-shrouded pines that blanket the valley.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Sorry, I need to make sure I say, what are you doing? Because otherwise Rick will tell me off.
Have we established, are we at sort of late afternoon time to think about settling down for the night? Is this a good place to camp, folks? Sorry, first of all, to Mr. DM, is it late afternoon or early evening?
It is late afternoon, early evening. I mean, it's still daylight as far as it's ever really daylight in this land, but you could carry on for a while yet if you wished to.
I think we should carry on.
I agree.
Sorry, what's that? You guys said you think we should carry on.
Yes.
Okay, I reckon we bear this place in mind though. So if we keep going for say half an hour or so, and we don't find anything that looks better, perhaps we head back here to camp.
What are the like? Terms of the wolves leaving us alone.
How far did we have to get?
Well, all the promise that was made was that we would stay out of their territory.
That was in character to Lena.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. It was unclear.
All I said was that we would leave their hunting grounds, and I don't know exactly where that ends, but I'm pretty sure once we cross this bridge, we'll be okay. That's just a guess, though.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're, like, you know, keeping our was it a promise? Deal? I don't know.
Threat, maybe?
What?
Oh, my. I just realized I'm down to 10 hit points.
Okay, so you carry on along the path, and as you head up, you're heading sort of, you've turned again and you're heading sort of vaguely northwards now. You notice the path branches off in two directions. In one direction, it goes towards the east, and in the other direction, it goes through a set of gates, quite similar to the ones that you came through when you first entered into this area. And as I didn't spot it earlier, I actually have a drawing of what those looked like.
Oh my.
Which, let's see. I will show to players, show to everybody. So.
Ooh.
That's pretty.
So,
nice.
Rather more substantial than I was thinking they were.
That's gorgeous.
Ooh. Yeah. So now we know how big the head was.
Yes. Was for our list.
It reminds me in Lord of the Rings with the, like, Kings of Gondor or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
The Isildur and. I was going to say Ehriman, then. No, that's not right.
Little known fact, Ehriman is an escapee from Lord of the Rings.
Isn't everybody in D&D in some way an escapee from Lord of the Rings?
I mean, that explains his intelligence and superior attitude.
For our listeners, back in the first episode, when they originally were transported to this land, they went through some gates and Lena, being Lena, decided to talk to the head of a statue that had fallen on the ground. My scale in my head was a bit wrong. I've now found a picture that I hadn't spotted before. And the statues by the gate are looking at that probably about 30 metres tall. Around, no, not quite that much.
But like 100 feet?
Yeah, about 100 feet tall.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. Yeah.
So, and so it was all a bit more substantial than I'd had in my head, but I can't really fix that in edit anymore. But we can fix it for the gates going the other direction. Anyway, so what you don't really need is an easily distracted DM sometimes. So you do have a choice of routes, but as you come up towards the junction, two things happen. First of all, Irina starts to drop further behind. And when you look at her, she is definitely looking scared. Also, at the crossroads, parked in the fork of the road, pointed east, is a large black carriage drawn by two black horses. The horses snort puffs of steamy breath into the chill mountain air. The side of the carriage swings open silently. Da, da, da.
Tiz, noticing Irina's, like, facial expression, will definitely, like, fall back a little bit. She's slower anyway because she's a dwarf. But she'll kind of fall back and just walk next to Irina.
Is there anyone inside the carriage?
There is nobody inside the carriage.
Well, this is odd.
Okay.
Those black horses, are they, I mean, you know, Marmoset knows a thing or two about animals. Are they healthy? Do they look normal? Do they look a bit weird? Do you want me to roll a kind of investigation type perception-y something check?
Yeah, sure. Roll, you're looking for something to be, roll an investigation.
Okay. In a minute when I can find where I've hidden it. Or I could roll animal handling.
You're looking at them, not driving them.
That's true. Okay, 17.
17, okay. Well, as far as you can tell with your experience of where you are, I think the best way I can put it is they look normal for Barovia.
Is that like normal for Norfolk?
Yes.
I haven't heard that in a while.
We've broken Rick again. Doesn't seem to take a lot. If we get through a session without giving Rick hysterics, I feel that we've kind of failed. Okay, so yes, as far as you... dragging us back to wherever it was we were started. Yes, they...
Horses were normal for Barovia.
Yes, normal for Barovia. They look healthy, they look clean and well kept.
That's not normal for Barovia. They should be looking tired and secondhand and somewhat grey.
It's not an invalid point, I guess. But okay, so they're looking very healthy for Barovia from what you've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. So Tiz is going to turn towards Irina and be like, do you know who this is? You seem to like know who this is or what's going on with this carriage or these horses. Like, what?
The eye is rather wide and a trembling her voice. She says, it's that's Strahd's carriage. That's what he sends out when he wants to bring people to Tiz Castle. I don't want to go anywhere near that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a really good idea to go near that thing. Is it like trapped or enchanted or something?
Oh, it's just sitting there, like it's waiting for passengers to board.
Oh, I was asking Irina again. If I'm in that voice, it's in character. Right,
okay, I'll bear that in mind. Yes, so Irina. Oh yeah, that's me as well.
Yep.
Yeah, you just have to answer differently, darling. Okay, all together.
You just have
now.
To answer with her scope of knowledge, not yours.
Yes, indeed. I can't remember what you asked now. I'm sorry.
Tiz asked if it was like trapped or enchanted, like if it would draw people in or if it would keep people in or something like that.
No. Strahd is just giving an invitation. As far as I know, you can bypass it. You don't have to get in unless, you know, if you want to do that, then that's fine, but I'm not coming with you. I'm staying here if that's what you decide to do.
Okay. Well, then why are you so scared if you don't have to get in?
With everything that's happened, anything to do with Strahd scares me.
Oh, okay. So the carriage isn't scary. It's the fact that there's a dude sending a carriage.
Well, there's a...
Okay, I can understand that.
There's a carriage waiting at there and the door opened by itself. I mean, I think that probably makes it a little bit scary just by itself.
Yes.
I guess that is a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Oh, you mean carriages don't normally do that? Oh, right. No. Okay, we normally just ride the horses. Haven't thought about the whole carriage thing. Fascinating. I mean, you know, what with the big city and all, I didn't know what was normal.
I just love the idea that Barovia is a big city. That's amazing.
I had a life-changing experience in Barovia.
They don't even have a blacksmith. How could they be a big city? They don't even have a blacksmith.
I assumed they'd move beyond such
things. Come on, Marmoset.
Oh, that's a good point.
Irina has kind of been listening to this with a sort of slightly raised eyebrow and mutters to herself, wait until they get to Vilecki. It's going to blow her mind.
Do I, since Tiz and Irina fell back a little bit, do I hear what they're talking about?
Give us a perception roll.
Yes, sir. If I can find it. 19.
Yeah, so you can overhear what they're saying.
Yeah. I'm not being super quiet or anything. She might be, but
I don't think
not.
Tiz is ever super quiet.
Maybe?
She's never had a cake.
She could probably manage it. Her version of quiet is like the mumbly fade out at the end of her sentence.
That squeak was adorable.
Jaw. This is sweet.
Well, since our mission, as it were, is to escort you to your destination, I do feel that we should continue on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I imagine Aramon will be looking at this as it's probably not our invitation anyway. I mean, who are we?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question.
Okay, so left fork or right fork, folks? Which way's... Do any of us know which is the way to Vilecki?
The Vilecki is the fork that goes through the gates. The other fork, sorry, I thought it's clear from context, but the other fork is the way to Castle Ravenloft, where the vampire lives.
Okay, so right. Going through the gates then.
Penny, you're still looking very puzzled.
Through the gates it is.
Sorry, Penny, you were still looking very puzzled and you've gone very quiet.
That was because Darius started to say something and then you started to say something and I couldn't hear.
Right, sorry.
But I think we've caught up there.
Okay. Right, okay. So, yes, Irina explains that really don't want to go on the Eastwood Path because that's what takes you to Strahd's castle.
Okay, Westward Path it is then.
I mean, as DM, I have to say, if you want to go that way, I'm not going to stop you.
In the words of Eddie Izzard, am I right in thinking that the Westward Path is all la 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 and the Eastward Path is...
I mean, we're in Barovia no matter what, so...
Yeah,
I guess. If it's la 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 la, it's got creepy undertones under
it. Minor key!
Yeah.
Yeah.
La 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 la. Sorry, I was trying to do the archers in.
It's like take the Alice in Wonderland music and put a gallows in the middle of it, and I think you've got the right vibe there.
Music, but all in minors.
I was trying to do the archers theme song in a minor key, but I can't transpose my head like that.
What I'm thinking of is, have you guys seen the movie Us, the Jordan Peele movie?
No.
It's got fantastic music in it. And they take, all right, sorry. I don't have to talk about the music in this if we want to like move on, but it's a tangent. But the music's really good and I can talk about it more later.
Okay. All right. So you're moving on past the junction and the carriage.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
I'm giving it a nice wide berth as it is, as much as I can.
As you walk past the carriage, the horses just sort of look at you and snort and stamp their feet. Who's... everyone make a perception roll.
You.
Please. Oh, bugger, 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 bugger. I've just realised I didn't start recording the... So I'm recording on Audacity. I forgot to start recording the
master track, the Zoom thing.
The master track. Never mind. It's not too important, but it's useful if I can remember. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So Tiz got a 6 on that perception.
Same here.
I got a 14.
Marmoset got 18.
And Semyon's on 21.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, nice. Semyon, as you walk away from the carriage, you actually just hear the sound of the carriage door closing as you walk away.
I turn back and look, because this will mean nothing to me.
The carriage door that had opened as you came close has now closed.
Would Semyon be able to make any logical link to that?
Oh, did Aramon do a perception?
Yeah, that was the 11.
Oh, that was the... Sorry, got it.
Okay.
Okay, so...
No, absolutely means absolutely nothing to me. The door is closed, so what?
That self-imposed intelligence check is a 0, and that's not even enough.
Nope.
I love Simeon.
Absolutely.
Okay, so as you walk towards the large iron gates, as I say, very similar to the ones you came through when you first arrived in the land, they open in front of you with a lovely noise, except probably deeper because they're big gates.
Okay, even Semyon at this point would be stopping and looking back at the carriage, and then at the gate, and then back at the carriage.
Marmoset gets out the oil and gets out oil from their backpack and oils the gates.
Are you okay, Semyon?
Yeah. I mean, I just are they linked?
When one door opens, someone
or
another
what
closes.
The doors and the gates and the stuff.
When one door closes, another one opens.
Oh dear!
That's what Marmoset was trying to say.
Right now, I've broken dreams.
I have to say, sometimes, listeners, you're missing everyone's facial expressions with some of this stuff.
This is the Barovian equivalent of an inspirational post, I think.
Okay, so the door, the gate out of the village has opened in front of you. We're out of the area. What are you doing?
Well, that was convenient.
Yeah, I mean, Tiz is going to like look around and see if there's anybody, pulling a switch or and laughing and twisting their mustache maniacally. But other than that, go through the gate. We just where we needed to go.
Do you want to make a perception roll for me then, Tiz?
Sure. Roll for goofy cartoon villain.
Roll for mustache twirling guys.
17. Do I see a goofy cartoon villain?
You don't see any Fozzie. I'm sorry, if I don't make you roll when there's nothing to see, you'll always assume that a perception roll is important, so.
Exactly. Oh dear. Marmoset heads through the gates and stops and scouts ahead just to see if they can see any of these threats.
Well, as you come through the gates, you can see that there is still more forestry on either side of the what, for lack of a better word, we'll call a road. Other than that, no immediate threats that you can see. It is starting to get quite dark now.
Now that I think about it, we probably should have burned the carriage.
I don't think it would have let us.
Just seems like the right thing to do.
Are you an anarchist?
I am an anarchist.
Maybe just a pirate?
Oh, okay. I totally understand that. I mean, I work in front of a forge every all the time, you know, and the hot metal and the flame and then the bellows and everything. Oh, it's amazing.
I love you.
To be honest, in my experience, every single D&D player I've ever come across is a pyro.
Can we set it on fire?
Okay.
Fire solves everything.
I might be able to help with that. Hold on. Is the carriage mostly wooden or metal?
Or did we pass it already? Is it already gone?
Yeah, you've already passed it. You're through the gates, yeah. And it's behind you now. So, I mean, it's not far behind you. If you wanted to go back and see if you could set light to it, then sure.
Exactly how far behind me is it?
Sure. I mean, I'm hopeful got extra characters ready, but...
What's an anarchist?
Who are you asking?
Whoever was to my left. You can decide among you who that was.
Unfortunately, it's Marmoset on my screen.
Tiz is like staring at this carriage, like sizing it up, like, do I have anything that I can set? Like, seriously considering the fire setting proposition.
Marmoset has oil.
But on the bright side, I don't have heat metal right now, so I can't melt it.
Okay, there's many things I thought you might do today. That one hadn't occurred to me at all.
So she looks kind of dejected and turns back to Marmoset and says, I don't know if I can help with that today.
Okay, it was an idea.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so getting dark, folks. I'm
not
seeing anything particularly suspicious ahead. Where do we want to make camp? Just inside these gates, or do we want to get a bit further away?
Do we want to get further from this Strahd's influence?
When we cross through the gates, do the doors close?
They do indeed close behind you, but thanks to Marmoset's ministrations, much quieter.
Everything better with oil.
I'm so glad that worked.
Okay, I say that we should probably find a spot up here a little bit away from the gates, and then we can make camp.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Tiz will turn to Irina and say, do the dead at night, do they ever march outside of the gates? Like, do they ever go out?
No, they, as long as we're a little distance from the gates, it should be fine. I mean, there's the normal dangers of Barovia, as you've already found out before we even got here. But that should be everything.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. I relay that, but yeah.
Okay, so we head a little bit away from the gates and...
Sorry.
Irina looks up and says, "What is that strange electronic sound?" Except I don't know what electronics are. Damn.
Marmoset goes, "Oh, magic music. Wow.
What is this strange anachronism?"
Somebody's got an alert on their sending stone.
Shut up, Jeffrey.
There it is.
Is Jeffrey texting you again?
He's just so popular that, you know, the ladies can't get enough of him.
Sometimes Jeffrey just gets so overwhelmed you have to reboot him.
Turn the rock off and on again.
Solves most problems.
And Irina says, "Sir, come, that's fine, but can you put him on silent?"
Or vibrate.
Penny, bad Penny, stop it.
I'm not going to say that, never mind.
Trying and failing to look innocent. Damn.
It's almost like we know you. So as you just come along the road looking for a parking spot, a camping spot, you can see that a few hundred yards ahead of you, the forest finally kind of dies away to be more kind of open, just mountains and stuff. But no more actual forest immediately close to you.
Mountains. I like mountains.
But you can see more forest again in the distance in the direction that the road appears to be heading.
How dense is this forest?
It's moderately dense.
Can we camp inside?
What do you actually want to do?
Thinking we could make a camp inside the trees for a little bit of cover.
Yeah, sure. You can clear bits out of the way and clear yourself enough space quite easily to camp just off the road, if that's what you wish.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Okay.
That's good.
I relay it to everyone that that's what I think, because
okay.
I believe that we are outside of the wolves'
we agree.
Hunting ground now.
Can you just make me a perception roll?
Me?
Please, Lena.
Yeah. 7.
Okay, fine. Never mind.
Oh!
You sound so sad. 7.
And I've got to save my inspiration for something really, really good. Oh, no! Oh. Having it there is so tempting. Okay, I'm good.
Okay, cool. So you're clearing a bit of a space inside the woods and are making camp. Okay.
Are we going to sort of go for 2-hour watches tonight or 4-hour watches?
2 hours would be great for me. I need to, I'm feeling a little under the weather.
Well, I need to get 6 hours of sleep no matter what, so.
Okay. Well, if you guys both need lots of sleep, why don't one of you take first watch and one of you take last watch, and the rest of us will take the middle watches, so we'll be the ones with like 4 hours here and 4 hours there. Unless anyone else is desperately short on, you know, spells and stuff.
If I know Aramon at all, he's probably already got his, you know, his bedroll out and is asleep.
Aaron's tiefling, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes. Do we have any elves or half-elves?
I'm a half-elf. But half-elves need sleep.
Yeah. Oh, you're a half-elf.
All right. So I think...
Half-elves have normal sleep patterns.
Half-elves
though.
Do they?
They
okay,
do.
That's the thing I couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Yes.
Yeah. It's elves that can trance.
Yes, because our elven sorcerer in therapy is incredibly smug about the fact he doesn't actually need to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And he can just go into a...
And he only needs 4 hours.
Go into a light trance, la, la, la. Yep. Okay.
Tiz, if it's all right with you, I would like to take, either watch. It's okay.
I'll take second watch.
I could go first. That's fine.
So,
cool.
Okay, I'll take second. Who wants third? Simeon? Okay. Simeon for third watch. That's 6 hours worth. Darius, do you want to take fourth or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'll take the last one.
Okay. And then Rick. Yeah, if we're not already up and moving by then.
Are we stopping for 10 hours?
Well, Rick's stopping for... Lena's stopping for 10 hours. She's having a lie-in. No, I reckon four 2-hour watches should probably do it, which actually means that Lena doesn't need to watch at all.
I am so okay with that.
Okay.
Okay.
I get to restore my hit points.
That's assuming that we actually get to rest.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that part.
Oh, doopa doopa.
Because Chris is definitely looking something up.
Oh, dear.
No, it's all right. Doesn't matter. At the moment. Okay, so for once, the night passes in relative ease and comfort, and with no major disturbances. And that
Woohoo.
For everybody is qualified as a long rest. So please set your spell usage Woo. And hit points and everything back. And obviously, if anyone's used any hit dice, then you should get half of the ones you've used back. I believe that's
half of your level, but yeah.
They just need a long rest button on this character sheet that you just click.
No, right. Set it. I'll go across that.
Suggest it. Suggest it to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Do I still need to be like creating water? Feel free to, Chris, feel free to do whatever you're looking up. To other folks, do I still need to be like have my water spell on, or can I pick something else?
I think you can pick something else. I don't think Marmoset is up for another bath for another couple of years.
Couple of years? Wow. Okay. I thought this was going to be an annual occurrence.
I have so many questions.
And you do not want the answers to any of them.
Do you know, one day I just want to run something for just the three of your characters stuck in a room together or something, because it'll be hysterical.
There will be many buckets of water perched on doors. Marmoset will walk through these doors.
And I don't know if they would be upset or ecstatic and just be like, this is water!
It happened again! Wow! And now I've discovered that some of my skin is pink and some of my skin is brown.
Please don't tell us which bits.
Wasn't going to, that's private. Actually, that's the white bits.
Oh boy.
You don't know how much of the edit I have to do spend taking my own giggles out.
Okay. So the night passes. Mm. We all pass out at various times.
So, let me just get my map back to where we were. Bloody thing. Okay, so as I say, the night passes without any major incident. And so, from where you wake up, what are you doing?
Drink some wine.
Disassemble the camp.
Yes.
I would, like, probably try and, like, make breakfast for everybody.
Yep.
Stumble out of bed and snack into the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to stay alive.
Try to come to life, I think it is, but never
mind.
She's very eager in the morning, isn't she?
Oh, it's a pretty good breakfast. Good for me. It tastes good, guys.
Nice.
I don't know what it's made of. It's like mushrooms or meat or, like, I mean, I don't know what we have, but, you know.
Stuff that Marmoset generally foraged and said, yeah, you can eat this. It won't kill you.
It's nicely put together.
Don't we have venison?
No, you gave it back. No, because you were...
We gave away the venison.
Yeah, you dropped it in the vampire ling's thingy.
That's right, we put the whole corpse in, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I mean, you know, you could try hunting for venison.
Some days you eat venison, some days the venison eats you. Only if it's vampire venison.
Most other days have gone really wrong.
Someday all the herbivores are going to turn on us.
That's called the movie Jurassic Park.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Vegisaurus.
Do you think he saw us? Okay. just broken people.
Actually watched that for the very first time the other day.
Really?
The original.
Never seen them before, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We saw it at the cinema. We took my parents and my brother to see it, if I remember rightly.
My mom had a paper delivery route, which I guess I don't know how paper delivery works in the UK. But for her, it was like waking up at like 4 a.m., going to the place, like collecting all the newspapers and then driving around and throwing them onto lawns. So she wasn't getting very much sleep for like 6 months or 8 months or something. And so she saw Jurassic Park, and then there was definitely one time where she had a dream and or maybe hallucinated while driving. I can't remember the details about her like being chased by dinosaurs in her car.
Oh my goodness.
She was delivering newspapers.
Did it improve the speed of her newspaper run?
I don't know.
Yeah, in this country, it tends to be kids on bikes rather than people driving, but you are expected to kind of put the newspapers through the door because we have weather.
And letter boxes. Yeah.
Well, ours are wrapped in plastic. They're in like, they're almost like grocery bags, just smaller.
More plastic.
For the right size.
Oh, I never knew that. I always wondered why people weren't furious with all these newspaper boys throwing papers onto their lawns.
Well,
and
you see, the thing is, we're willing to use substances that are terrible for the environment as long as it's for our convenience.
Well, yeah.
I can't say that we're in any
like
position to comment on that.
That's American culture in a nutshell right there.
Hey, I heard on the news, plastic bag purchase in the UK from the top 8 retailers has gone down 90% since they introduced the 5p charge. So we're now only buying 10 bags a person per year instead of 100 odd bags per person per year.
Yeah, in Eugene, you have to pay 5 cents for a bag, but they don't actually sell plastic bags. You can only get paper bags. In Springfield, however, you go to Walmart and they just like load you up with paper bags. I mean, plastic bags. It's like, okay, this is weird.
I'm super enthusiastic about paper bags because we use them for recycling. So I would pay that 5 cents every time because I need bags for recycling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a vague memory that we might have played D&D a little while ago.
Yes.
I feel we may have digressed.
Is it a hallucination? I'm going to suddenly wake up and I'm going to be at the computer doing work.
About 3 months ago, we started doing
Yes, you were hallucinating while delivering the paper.
I dreamt last night that a bunch of relatives came to visit and they locked my mum in the bathroom because she was dangerous.
Was this related to the fact that you created a story about a vampireling locked in a basement?
No, I think it came from something else. I remember what it was when I woke up this morning, but I can't remember what it was now.
Oh my. That's quite...
I can see another little edited segment coming in this episode. Because that...
Well, maybe you could have this as outtakes.
The trouble is the outtakes. If we take all this out as outtakes, then the episode would be about 15 minutes long at the moment. We've been very distractible this evening, I've noticed. I can only blame myself.
Indeed.
Okay, so
back to work, DM.
Yep. back to the DMing minds. Okay,
craft some story.
I've paid somebody else to do that for me. Okay, so you finish packing up the camp, go back to the road. As I said, you look ahead and you can see that while there is some more there is some more forest in the a couple of miles ahead of you. At the moment, you're in a clearer area where all that's around you is the sides of the mountains around you. It's fairly chilly. I don't think Barovia is ever warm particularly, but you're in a certain amount of mountainous territory now, so it's going to be a bit chilly. So, and the path continues to wind its way on average towards the west.
I would like to make a perception roll, I think perception, to see if there's any predators about.
Okay.
With a 20.
You're not aware of anything at this point.
Okay.
Funny, I heard Penny muted her phone and then I heard her coughing from here. Mute her phone and microphone. Okay, so what are y'all doing?
Rolling. Gotta keep on rolling.
Over the hills.
Just carry on. Along the road.
Okay. So carry on walking on the road for another mile and a half or so. And as you come around another bend and the road starts turning towards the north, you see that there's a another track that goes off towards the west. And you can see in the distance a building of some kind, some sort of construction. You can't really see what it is without getting a little closer. So you're going to investigate or you're going to carry on?
I want to investigate.
Okay. How does everyone else feel about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's investigate.
Okay.
How has investigation been working out for us so far?
We're still alive. Well, some of us. Okay. Good point. Well made.
Okay, so as you head on along the path, you'll see that the building you're approaching is a somewhat dilapidated windmill. If it sounds vaguely familiar, it's because you've come across a windmill before in the Death House, but don't assume that it's that particular windmill. Let's see. The onion... Yeah, I do have a description. Here we go. The onion-domed edifice leans forward and to one side as though trying to turn away from the stormy grey sky. You see grey brick walls and dirt-covered windows on the upper floors. A decrepit wooden platform encircles the windmill above a flimsy doorway leading into the building's interior. Perched on the wooden beam above the door is a raven. It hops and squawks at you, seemingly agitated.
Nevermore.
And I have a handout, so you can see what it roughly looks like.
Ooh.
Pretty.
That's pretty.
And pretty dilapidated.
I mean, you know, besides...
Indeed.
Pretty in its day, okay?
Once upon a time, it was pretty. You can. There are the remains of a fine windmill about this.
Grisabella, the glamour windmill.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll say that now.
Should we sort of look all the way around the bottom first, and then try going inside, see if we can hear noises, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I was just translating because I know Geoffrey understood you, but the rest of us might have struggled to catch that one.
Yeah, a little bit. I am for that plan.
What will our heroes discover about the mysterious windmill? And what relevance will it have to their current task? Find out in the next episode of Curse of Strahd. Book Zombie presents Curse of Strahd, starred Caius as Darius Telvanar, Penny as Marmoset Quince, Jane as Tisril Forgeflame, Alton as Semyon Anatov and Eremon, Rick as Lena Random, and Geoffrey the Rock as himself. The DM was Chris Bookzombie Hill. Music and artwork was by The Sleeping God. This was a Bookzombie Presents production for Welcome to the Party. If you enjoyed the show, please do like and subscribe. Follow the links below to Welcome to the Party's Twitter feed, Twitch stream, and Patreon account.